Today, as we continue on in our study of the biblical events that God wants us to reflect on and to look forward to, that in every way are given for our study and for us to believe, which produces fruit, the fruit of hope, and gives us expectation. We're going to look in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. I want to ask you if you would turn with me. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 12. And we're going to stop on verse 15, with 15 being a keynote scripture for the opening of our time together. Now, I'm reading out of the King James, the New King James Version. I hope that you're able to follow along.
What chapter and verse again?
I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. The reason for this reading is that it is pointing to something that is an absolute necessity, that your hope must not, for any reason, be in this lifetime only. This is a foundation for every biblical disciple, meaning for if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot have your anchors in this lifetime. Your anchors cannot be in life's experience, otherwise known as the lifetime experience. If your stock, if your investment, if your anchor is there, the Bible says that you are to be pitied above all. Pitied above all. So let me, that's where I'm headed. You'll see that in 19, but let's read it in context. It says, now if Christ is preached that he has been, raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Now Paul was speaking to the Corinthians at this point. It says, but if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Now, key point here is that the gospel, the main leg in the gospel is 3 points. That Christ was provision for the death issue. That the law said in the wages of sin, the wages of sin is death, right? So God sent his son to die. And if your hope is hinged on him and not your performance, then you get part A of the gospel and you do it well. But the next point was that he died for you. It has to be personal. He died, yes, but have you benefited from his death? And are you standing that you too are going to die, but not stopping there? That you too, in the same way that Christ was raised from the dead, are also going to be raised from the dead. Amen. That has to be in your heart.
Yes.
One, first stop, appreciation for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And understanding the benefit of that to you, not just to the world, but to you. And if your hope is on his blood sacrificing, his blood sacrifice making you right with God, then you're in biblical truth that Christ died for you. His provision was exactly what God required, and it was the only provision that God chose to accept. Amen. Hold the phone right there. Stop. So with death in the issue here, there has to be a spiritual remedy for death, and God's spiritual remedy for death is 2 things. One, he has to remedy the sin problem, because the wages of sin is death, right? And God, through Christ, provided forgiveness of sins as a remedy. It falls back on the other biblical mandate, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So now we have 2 things. We have the death of Christ providing forgiveness through Christ, releasing us from the sentence of condemnation that we inherited from our forefather, Adam. With me so far? Now we're up to the resurrection, and that's why what is your hope in? Your hope should be that you are in Christ indeed. Now, where did you get in Christ? Was there a gateway? Yes, there was. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, that you were included in Christ when you heard the gospel of your salvation, gospel salvation, having believed. You were marked in Him with a seal. So your inclusion in Christ, the gateway, was you hearing the gospel, hearing the good news about the provision for sin, the death of the Christ, God's willingness to accept His blood and make the value of that work and blood available to you for your own personal redemption. Mm-hmm. Amen. See, it's pointing back to His cross, pointing back to Him being the provision, pointing back, but it doesn't stop there. It goes on so that you're not left with just a healing from the sinful nature in this life, but that you're guaranteed an exit from earth. See, you've already been translated. If you are in Christ, you have crossed over from death unto life. That's St. John chapter 5, verse 24. That for all those who believe, somebody read that for me, that you've crossed over from death unto life.
I get it. John 5.
24.
John 5, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
Yeah. Two key points as he read that. Shall not come into judgment. That's pointing back to the sentence of condemnation that God placed on Adam. What did he tell Adam? If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. The sentence of condemnation, there it is. When is that relieved? It's relieved when the cost of your sin is reckoned. When is the cost of your sin reckoned? It's through Christ on the cross. Yes, that's the provision. But it's when you benefit from Christ on the cross. When does that happen? When you accept Christ as the Savior. When you accept Him. Another word for that is receive Him. And then that's pointing to the truth of St. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, yet to as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of a man's will, nor of read it for me, please.
Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Who were born of God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when does the cross of Christ touch your life? When you experience redemption through Christ, and you receive Christ, God permits the value of His blood to redeem you. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, since you've been redeemed, that positions you to be placed into Christ. Now, how does that happen? It's called the baptism. The Bible says that you are called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That baptism is referring to when you were on earth, periling down in the sinful nature, unable to rescue yourself, just like the man that I recently talked to. He goes, I refuse to be a hypocrite. I'm not able to stop my drinking, my drugging, my on and on and on. He confessed a lot of his personal sins to me. And I said, I understand that. And you'll never be able to fix yourself.
Amen.
And it's like, I said, I understand what you're saying. And I know a little bit about the man he was referring to. The gentleman he was pointing to as being a model Christian was not like that not too long ago.
Okay.
So I pointed to him and the history that all of us were born with a sinful nature.
Yes.
And it's just varying degrees of the bondage and slavery to the sinful nature. But only freely through Christ, even those varying degrees of sin, varying degrees of debauchery and idolatry and sexual morality, all that, it is all stemming from the Adamic nature that we've all inherited, and Christ is the only solution.
Yes.
Okay, for this lifetime. But what about this focus on the eternal that we've been studying? Okay? At some point, we have to get beyond death in the grave, salvation, repentance. But now we have to look to, okay, I have been saved. Christ has redeemed me. Amen? What is on God's heart and what has been assigned to me as my purpose in this lifetime, and am I walking faithfully toward that, in that, engaged in that, married to that, am I committed to that, and is there rock solid courtroom qualified evidence of that? In other words, not by your assumption or your presumption that you're standing in faith. No, is there evidence you're standing in faith? Because it's only through faith that you're going to be able to extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one.
Amen.
And one of the fiery darts of the evil one, you can be sure he's going to use it in the last days, is fear of the future.
Yes, it is. Amen.
He is going to come at you with fear of the future.
Amen.
It neutralizes strong believers. It paralyzes servants of God. It terrorizes nominal Christians.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So, if you look here in verse 14, it says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. That requires meditation. Is your faith complete? Is your faith whole? What if anything, is it missing? Well, the Bible talks about this a lot. And it says that if your faith is in Christ, you've done well. If your confidence is in his resurrection, then you too shall be raised from the dead. The confidence of your resurrection is coming, and it's something that you should hold on to, that you should stand in, that God forbid you die today, you're going to go into the place, what the Bible calls the abode of God. It's otherwise known as paradise. Well, how are you going to get there? Your body is going to sleep. But your soul and your spirit shall be separated. And it shall be in a conscious state in which that you experience that. But that's not the resurrection of the righteous. That's the waiting area called paradise until the resurrection of the righteous. Are you with me so far? So we see here in verse 14, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. What is the other thing that you must have to have complete faith? You must have works. Faith without works is dead. Now, does that mean you have to work for your salvation? No, it does not. Because Jesus said, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He who confesses that Jesus Christ is the Lord shall be saved. He who believes in his heart that God that Christ died for your sins, that Christ was buried, and that Christ was raised. The Bible says if you believe that he was raised in the third day, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. Those are sure things. We just heard in St. John 5:24 that through belief that you've crossed over from death unto life. But faith is for God to use your confidence. What is faith? Faith is a quiet confidence in the Lord.
Amen.
And God has said many things about your future. And he wants you to have a quiet confidence in those truths. So, if a person, let me read on here in verse 15. Yes, it says that if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead did not rise. Well, we know that to be the opposite. Christ was buried. Christ did raise from the dead after 3 days.
Yes.
It says, For in verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Well, we know that not to be true. It says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It says, you are still in your sins. So in other words, he's pointing. He says, listen, if you're not confident in Christ's resurrection as a part of your faith, then your faith is incomplete. It's of no value. How much more then should we be confident that Christ rose from the dead? How much more then should we be confident that we too are going to be raised from the dead? With me so far?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your faith needs that. That confidence that, yes, when I die, my soul and my spirit are going to be separated from my body. My body's going to sleep, but I'm going to enter eternity into the paradise of God in a conscious state. With me so far?
Amen.
But listen to what it says here. It says in verse 18, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Well, we know that not to be true. And in verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. He's saying, if you're living for this life only, then you do not understand God's call to you. You do not understand. And that may be why you're suffering in this life. Because your spirit has been made new, your soul needs to be renewed, and your flesh is perishing. Now, that's a big problem. Because I see people in the hospitals who can barely walk, who sometimes can't talk, who are in the nursing homes and they're strapped to chairs they cannot get out of. And I'm thinking, look at this terrible desegregation. There is no hope. If your hope is in this lifetime only, you're to be pitied above all men.
Amen.
But you let me, I can go into a nursing home and I spend 5 minutes with somebody who is, yes, they're aware that they're on earth. Yes, they're aware that they're in a wheelchair. And yes, they're aware that at some point they're going to die. But they're not in fear and trembling of that. No, to the contrary, they're saying, hallelujah, I am on third base. I'm on my way home.
Amen.
Why? Because their hope is not in this life.
Yes.
You see, without the hope of the resurrection, we have no hope at all. Your sight line has to come on up.
Amen.
It's got to get off the horizontal plane, and it's got to come up on high.
Amen.
That is a call. That's a call from God. And most people never, by decision, get there. But it's through unbelief that you abide in the horizontal plane. It's the evidence, the words are here.
Yes.
They're here. But you have to believe them.
Amen.
In other words, is your study of the scripture only to support you sustaining the activities of this life, and does it have any expectation or any recognition of service beyond the grave? If the latter is empty, your faith is incomplete. Your joy will be nominal at best. It'll be conditional for sure. Why? Because circumstances, life's troubles, and life's perils will cause your flesh to tremble. But if that's where your confidence is in the experiences of this life, guess what? They are forever changing. And trouble is assured. In this life, you will have much trouble per Jesus.
Amen.
Right? And so he understood that. Jesus understood that. And the Apostle Paul understood that. And that's the reason for the exhortation. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, that is a pastoral, that's a caring, loving, pastoral comfort. It's not it doesn't appear to be, to me, as what you would see in a NASA scientific briefing, you know, with all the X's and Q's, and Joe knows all those things, those high math things. He could probably give all of us a good lesson. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, I want you to look there with me, and
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means receive those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Okay. What Suchi just read to you is a summary from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to the people of that time. Now let's think about the people. They were of little or no Jewish descent. They were heathens. So they recognized and they thought that the coming of the Lord was going to be very soon in their lifetime. And so as their elders began to pass, they were worried in their hearts. Did they miss the great event? Did their grandma that was expectant of seeing the Lord coming, did she miss this great event? And what happens to her? You have to understand the people he was talking to and what was going through their minds. So you can see the comfort, the pastoral care of Paul and the Holy Spirit comforting those. In fact, the scripture encourages us to comfort one another with these words. See? So, yes, comfort one another with these words. But let me give you a few scriptures that's going to kind of set the stage for us as we look in concerning the resurrection. First of all, you have to understand that this hope that we must have is not dead. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living.
Amen.
Okay? Now look with me. You have to understand the beauty of St. John 5 and 24. It said that you've crossed over from death
unto life.
So the Bible also says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, very famous passage, it teaches us that there is no condemnation. For now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember, I said, how did we get included in Christ? It was by one Spirit, right? We were called, we were baptized by one Spirit into Christ. You were included in Christ at the point of hearing the glorious gospel, believing the glorious gospel. At that point, you were placed into Christ. Sealed. Sealed. The seal of God is the Holy Spirit. He placed His Holy Spirit on the inside of you to guarantee that you are going to have a safe arrival.
Woo. Hallelujah.
That you are going to make this journey.
Thank you, Lord.
Arriving in the abode of God.
Amen.
In paradise itself. That God Himself is going to see you through.
Yes.
And the scripture encourages us. I can think of in Hebrew, in St. John 10, 28, it teaches us that
no one can
snatch you from the God the Father's hand. Let me read it to you. In this passage of Scripture, it should build up your confidence that, yes, you are going to experience the resurrection. Amen? Let me read it here. In verse 28, it says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Look at verse 29. It says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand." Look at verse 30. Look at the unity, the triunity of the Holy Trinity right there in verse 30. "I and my Father are one." Now, I want to give you the assurance that this hope that you have is not dead. It's living because your assurance has come from the living God. The Creator of heaven and earth has said these things to you. You need to leave here with the absolute confidence that if you die, you're going to enter the abode of God. It's called the paradise of heaven. Now, Jesus promised the thief on the cross. He told him, today, you, in Luke 23, he said, today, you shall be with me in paradise. Amen. Now, had the guy on the cross, had he built any orphanages?
No.
Made a tithe?
No.
Presented an offering?
No.
No. Built a church?
No.
Gone to Bible school? No. No, 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 no.
No.
What was it? What was it that God seen in him that he granted him?
To repentance.
He had humility.
Amen.
Toward the awesome presence of the Messiah. He recognized that Christ was the one who was going to save him.
Amen.
If he was going to have any hope, his hope had to be in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thus, living hope.
Amen.
Living hope.
Amen.
That guy recognized that this was the Messiah.
Amen.
And that death could not hold him.
Amen.
You have to leave here today with that same confidence.
Amen.
That God forbid you should die today. The Bible says that even though you die, you shall live.
Amen.
You shall live.
Amen.
See, that settles it all, saints.
Amen.
Look at it in St. John chapter 11 in verse 25. That settles it all in my book. It says, now Martha was talking about the resurrection, and so was in this passage. And I'm in St. John chapter 11, verse 18. It says, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In verse 22, but even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. What does that display? Faith.
Yes.
That's confidence in Christ. That's what your faith must have. It's got to be, when I pray, he hears me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now I'm telling you, there is trouble coming. And if you don't have the quiet confidence that Christ is with you, that Christ is in you, that you are in Christ, and that when you speak, he hears.
Amen.
Then you above all people shall be pitied, and you above all people shall surely be shaken. But if your confidence is real in him, and you have a living hope in the living God, then you shall not be shaken.
Amen.
And your faith shall extinguish every fiery dart that Satan might come at you with. It says here in verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What does that show you? Here is Jesus Christ. And what is she saying? She is announcing that she has a belief in a prophetic event that is yet to come. Saints, pay attention to this woman. This woman had biblical truth in her heart, and it was so strong in her that she had the audacity to proclaim it to the Messiah. What are you proclaiming in your prayer closet with bold confidence to God? It should be what you believe.
Amen.
It should be what he has promised.
Amen.
It should be what you know to be true.
Amen.
And fill it with thanksgiving.
Amen.
For that is what you were called to do.
Amen.
It says in verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.
Hallelujah.
There it is. The guaranteed crossover.
Amen.
He who believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live.
Amen.
What's that pointing to? It's pointing to a biblical truth called the living hope. Where's that in the scripture? Look at it in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. First Peter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Are you there with me? I'm going to read one down for the sake of good reading. It says here, and this is the first epistle of Peter, and Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That one verse is so power-packed with biblical doctrine, it is unbelievable. It is so filled with biblical truth, that one, you could stay on that one verse for 6 weeks. But let me move down. It says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. There's that word begotten. Birthed by the Spirit. Here, let me say it. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to say it again. Your confidence is a product of you being launched into the living hope via birth by the Spirit. You're the fruit of you having quiet confidence in the Lord was launched at the point of birth by the Spirit. In other words, you've been launched like a rocket from death and hopelessness, being chained, being blind, being lost, being captive by Satan, being unable to set you free from your own self, from the sinful nature. That, my beloved, was terminated when there was a death. There was a death to the sinful nature. There was a birth by the Spirit, and it says it right there. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, listen to what it said right there, has begotten us. Begotten. Begotten. Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. Right?
Right.
And it's through birth by the Spirit that you've been placed into Christ.
Yes.
And listen to what it says. It says, who has begotten us again to what? To a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There it is. So we have drilled down really hard on the biblical gospel. What is that gospel? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And my beloved, this is what the comfort of the promise that the Apostle Paul preached to the Thessalonian people. He was telling them, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. Even though your elders just died, and they did not see the Lord, they too are going to see Him with you.
Amen.
Are you getting that?
Yep.
Those that have died in the Lord before us, we will certainly not precede them. They are going to be raised from the dead. Now, if you're alive when the coming of the Lord happens for the church, then you will escape death in the grave. And you will be taken to heaven and joined together with the saints that have died, the Thessalonian saints, church. Are you hearing me? Those people that had their faith that the Apostle Paul preached to are going to meet you in the air.
Amen. Amen.
The Corinthian church, the Thessalonian church, the church of Ephesus, they are going to meet us in the air. You're standing on their shoulders. Who's standing on yours? See, we are a generation that must give an account for what you have come to know is true. You're in a living hope, and it should be a living gospel. It should be a living faith, not a dead one.
Amen.
And nor an incomplete one.
Woo!
If your faith is in this life only, and your experience is the joys of food, sleep, and experiences, then you have perverted a holy gospel as though it were a prostitute. God, yes, He wants you provided for, and yes, everything that is in your hands, money, time, sleep, food, shelter, clothing, all these things have been given to you as a tool. As a tool to provide for you so that you may be the ambassador, the royal priest, the son, the daughter, the born-again believer, that you may walk with confidence, that you may walk with assurance, that yes, even though I die, I'm going to live. God said so.
Amen.
See, you see the difference between studying what He said, believing what He said, and standing in what He said. It's the standing that we're missing. We must stand like bold lions. That's why I want to encourage you. Be bold with the gospel. You're the only one who's got privilege on the eternal corner.
Amen.
You're the only ones.
Yes.
We are the appointed ambassadors. And if the ambassadors do not carry the message will not be carried.
Amen.
We have a living hope. We have a living God. And there's coming a time when the resurrection is going to be for you, not for those that you read about. Not for those people, those holy people who were in their graves in Matthew 27 when the earth shook and the veil in the temple was rent in two at the time of Christ's crucifixion. It's going to be you. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes what it's going to be like. That's coming. That is coming.
Yes.
It's coming.
Amen.
And we're going. And we might be the generation to escape death.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And so I can assure you that you and I need a confidence in the Lord that's biblically correct, that it's filled with an acknowledgement that Christ died for my sins. And yes, Christ was buried. And yes, He rose from the dead. And so shall I. And that even though I die, I shall live. Let me close with Matthew 10, 37, 38, and 39. It says,
a verse in chapter
10, 36. I'm going to read verse 32 down. I'm in Matthew chapter 10. And this passage in my Bible is all red print. And in the context of this, the theme of this passage is the disciples are being instructed by Christ. So in verse 32, let me read down and we'll stop there in verse 39. Here it is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 33, but whoever denies me before men, him will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. In verse 34, it says, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. In verse 35, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Verse 37, 38, and 39 was the reason I read this. I pray it would you get a chance to really think about these words. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. You will